All right, it's another edition of KFC Radio. We got Bill Burr on the line. He will be live in the flesh in Youngstown, Ohio for Rough and Rowdy this weekend. You said you're very gassed up for Youngstown, Ohio, Bill?
Yeah, I've been telling everybody about it, and I tell them about the fight matchups. There's a gay guy that's fighting a convicted felon who doesn't like gay people, and it's called Pride versus Prejudice. And they all go, dude, that's the greatest thing ever. I have to see that. I go, it doesn't stop there. They got a cop fighting a skateboarder. And they're like, this is a real thing? I'm like, this is a real thing. They got Pittsburgh Steelers fans wanting to fight Cleveland Brown fans for whatever reason. They got 6 titles. Cleveland has 0. I got an NFL title in 65, but for some reason they don't count it. It's like, these are some great matchups. I don't know who the promoter is, but like, I would even think like Don King would be like, oh man, that's a good idea.
Yeah, listen, when I heard Pride versus Prejudice, I was like, this is just pure brilliant marketing right here. That's the beauty of Rough and Rowdy. Listen, people want to beat the hell out of each other. That's what we've learned about the world at this point. And we'll let it happen. We'll throw
and
you in
then,
a ring and let you do it.
On top of all of that, this is real.
Yep.
So if it was a movie, the gay guy wins. That's what you want to see. But I am literally sick to my stomach thinking like, oh my God, if the bigoted guy actually wins, then what happens?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting a Rocky.
The sheer drama of that alone.
Yeah, it's yeah, you're right.
I gotta say, that kid that was, is it Gay Pat? Is that his name?
Yes, sir.
I've watched that promo he cut like 9 times. Makes me laugh my ass off every time.
Well, I'm going to eat his ass.
It's not going 3 rounds. It's going 1 round. In 30 seconds, I'm putting you on your back, and I'm going to put a nice fat way of kiss you right on your fucking inbred lips or something like that.
He does fully plan on giving him a kiss. And if there's a moment where this guy's on his back and Gay Pack can somehow plant one on him, I mean, the place will go absolutely bananas.
Dude, if we finally switch the power of the Me Too, and we take Gay Pat is kissing an unconscious homophobe.
I was just going to say, then that guy could actually Me Too Gay Pat, so he would actually have to forfeit his purse. I mean, there's no end to the dramatic angles to this fight.
So you said you're sick to your stomach. I mean, we've kind of been chronicling this matchup. It sounds like Gay Pat has never been in as much of a playground scrap. He's never thrown a punch at all. This hillbilly.
He's got the reach advantage.
He does have the reach advantage. But do you think he's actually going to be able to put that into motion?
Well, that's a big question.
Right.
We're going to find out this Sunday in Youngstown.
Yes, sir. There you go. Don King will be proud of that one, pal. Yeah, so one of the, you know, we got the Rough and Rowdy thing going, the boxing initiative here at Barstool. The other thing that we got going is this pop punk band. Have you heard of them?
Would that be Blink-182?
Well, basically, a couple guys, 4 guys in our office kind of started to make some music as a joke, and then they realized they're all pretty good. And they actually ended up selling out Irving Plaza here in New York a few weeks ago. They're going to go up to the House of Blues in Boston. And they play Blink-182 covers, but they also wrote some original stuff that's kind of like a emo pop punk angle. I heard you like to get behind the drums and rattle those sticks a little bit. Is that true?
I attempt to play the drums. Yes, sir, I do. It is my hobby, though. Know it is my hobby.
When did you start doing that?
Before you were born.
So do you do in LA, you just got a room you rip at?
Oh, I actually had somebody come in and soundproof my garage.
There you go.
I was going to say, how's the wife like that?
You know what it is? Dude, anything that gets me out of her hair, she loves it.
Yeah, that's true.
My wife loves me and I love her too, but we definitely need our own space.
Yeah. I mean, I had a brother who was a drummer and I love him. I didn't like when he fucking drummed, though, I'll tell you that.
No, that's the thing. Like, if you strum on a guitar, it's fine. You also, you know, even if you have an electric guitar, you don't have to plug in. It's something that you can really practice. But essentially, playing drums is only fun for the person who's playing them. And everybody else is just like, oh, my God. Like, when I used to play, I started in 88, and I played till about 93, 94, and then I moved to New York, and I didn't play for like 7 years, and then I was seeing this woman. She's like, oh, you used to play drums. I always want to learn how to play, and I got her some drumsticks and got myself some, just showed her some stuff on the pad, you know, and that just got me back into it. So
yeah, man,
but I remember back in the day when I used to come home from work, and I used to lift weights to Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction. Only upper body, because it was the 80s. I don't even think a squat machine existed back then. So everybody was all big up top, and then you wore your puffy pants to hide your skinny legs. And after I lifted for the whole, I swear to God, I would lift for the whole Guns N' Roses album. Then I would get behind the kit and then play to it. And I had like a boom box, turned it all the way up because I didn't have any headphones to plug into it. And I would play, unfortunately, without earplugs. I messed up my hearing, and I would do that every single day. And Steven Adler was, that was my guy as far as the 80s go. Like that was that guy, you know, because everybody else had the double bass kick kit, even if they didn't even play it. They had like a Dave Lombardo setup, and they would be like in, you know, playing like, you know, 4/4, whatever, AC/DC style. And he came along and just had the 4-piece and just got more music out of that than I thought these guys did with 10-piece kits. Still a huge fan of his.
I mean, the our guy Frankie, who is Portnoy's like right-hand man, is the drummer. And I mean, he stepped off stage after it was all said and done, pouring with sweat. Just, you know, like the world at his fingertips. His girlfriend was passing out. People are chanting his name. I feel like, you know, everyone always knows the front man, and you see the guy ripping the guitar solo. But the drummer to me is where it's at. That's the heart and soul.
Well, I it's just a hobby, and I don't have a good musical ear. As if you ever saw me playing drums, you'd figure that out quickly. I just like playing because it's fun. But any musician I ever talked to said, if the drummer sucks, the band sucks.
Yeah,
but
right.
If the drummer's good, you like he can really he or she can elevate even a mediocre band to sound pretty damn good. So, and I've proven that too, because I've gotten to jam with some really good people, and I drag them right back to earth.
let me ask you this then. So you obviously you've had a pretty decent amount of success with this comedy thing. You got the TV show for family. You're doing specials all over the place.
Let me tell you something right now. I was able to buy a house, and I have all 4 sports packages. So I made it. I've done more than well.
Well, if you could, let's say, trade all that in for real success with the drums. Let's say you were in a successful band selling records and selling out arenas.
Nah, I wouldn't. It's a hobby, and I've also seen how much harder that business is. And I've also done some tours where you tour with other comedians, and it just becomes a different thing.
Do you think
it's like you have to deal with all these different personalities? And just from a couple of tours that I've done with other comics, you have to understand there's going to be the late guy. There's going to be the drug guy. There's going to be the pussy hound. There's going to be the egomaniac. And like all of those characteristics could be like in everybody in the thing. And everybody, there's all the, you know, there's the alpha male. There's
who would you be, Bill?
The jealous guy. I would be the loner who would be looking to get out of the band. I swear to God, I what I would do was I would literally be like, I'm going to start playing some drum clinics on the side and try to make a name for myself doing this shit. And this will be my side hustle, because I know at some point the lead singer or the lead guitarist is going to get someone in his fucking ear, and he's going to try to start his own band, and then I'm going to be screwed. Like, what's his face? What Dave Grohl did.
Yeah.
Like he should, when he's in that power trio, Kurt Cobain dies, commits suicide. Like he disappears after that. Up until that moment, that guy disappears. If he's lucky, he somehow latches onto another band as a drummer. For that guy to then become a frontman guitarist. And I mean, those guys have been around for almost 25 years.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, and the fact that he did that pre like MySpace, Facebook, Instagram, and all that he was able to do that on his own is incredible. But like, yeah, I think that I would be,
the guy who quits.
I would definitely, and I would be the guy who kept trying to get better and better and better drums, like a Steve Smith guy, where he was in Journey, had Vital Information on the side. And then he also started doing these drum clinics, and that guy put out instructional videos, and he became an entire entity on his own outside of the band. And what's funny about that is that can actually get you kicked out of the band. I know a guy, I'm not going to say who it is, but he started doing some stuff outside of the band, And the guy was just like, you can't be doing both of those. It's one or the other. So you're out. And he just got kicked out of the band because he started this other thing.
I mean, how that goes here at Barstool. There's a little bit of that going on. It's interesting you say that. I feel like one of your other hobbies is maybe keeping an eye on the gambling world, and I feel like that's about to shift seismically going with this with gambling being legalized. Is that going to affect how you bet? And is it something that you like? Are you happy about it going legal?
Well, first of all, we have ISIS to thank for that. Okay, because that's a never ending war over there that you're not allowed to ask. Like, hey man, like. What's going on over there? Because the second you do, that means you're in the Al-Qaeda. So nobody questions it. And every year, this country goes bankrupt.
Okay.
And the government shuts down in August. And they're like, what do we do? What do we do? And they raise the amount that we can legally. All right, yay, turn the lights back on, and we party again. So all of these states are broke. Okay? And it used to be they started doing the lottery, and that was enough. Dude, I'm telling you, they're broke. I got all these states coming after me now going, oh, you played Uncle Fucky's in 1998 and you didn't give us your $30 taxes and shit, right? So I think that's why all of this stuff is going to be
interesting,
become legalized. And I'm telling you, dude, it's going to be like it's one of those crazy things where it's like right now how you pay taxes for public schools. And you give money to fundraisers. So you literally have to pay it twice now.
Yeah, you're getting double dipped. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be paying all of these taxes and you're going to be gambling and playing the lottery. I mean, like, what's the portion of your check that's going to be going to the state is going to be off the chains.
I just know a few guys who, you know, they've been lifelong gamblers and they kind of like the fact that it's always, you know, done under the table with a guy. It's a mom and pop operation. You know, your bookie. Do you think that it kind of ruins, you know, maybe the allure of.
Yeah,
of,
it's like getting a Cuban cigar. You know what I mean? You got to go. You go into the back.
You
got to get to know the guy that runs the shop. Hey, what do you got back there? Blah, 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 blah. And then you show up with Cubans and then you're the man. You know what I mean? And
right.
Yeah, it was always. Look. Meeting your bookie most of the times isn't a fun experience. You know, we used to always meet the guy at this local little packy store and he'd sit there and he had like the Thunderbird turbo coupe way back in the 80s. Yeah. And he'd show up back when the Patriots would always lose. And we played in that, you know, Texas high school football stadium, basically at the NFL level. And I don't know. Anytime anything goes mainstream, if you were into it before it became mainstream, it's not going to feel as special. I would compare it to Metallica fans before the Black Album. You know,
I was going
to
say you're an indie gambler,
right? That's exactly. You're a hipster gambler. Yeah. Once you're selling out arenas, nobody's
not
interested.
Not hipster.
No.
What happens is later when it becomes mainstream, hipsters dress like a degenerate gambler, ironically. You know what I mean? Where you are actually a degenerate gambler.
Right.
And those clothes you were wearing were not a fashion statement. It was what you could afford.
Yeah, they're appropriating your culture.
They're appropriating
right.
gambling. Degenerate. They're appropriating brokenness is really what they're... all right, yeah. So you'll be on the call Sunday night.
Who you
night.
Got, by the way?
Yeah, what's your big prediction?
My big prediction...
Like you can choose anyone. You can choose the pig,
yeah, no,
the
give,
pig
me,
versus
give me
pig
the,
versus
the,
punk.
The two top billings is gay Pride versus Prejudice and the pig versus the punk. So you got with the cop and the
punk. Is that what it's called? The pig versus the punk.
Yeah, keep it going with the tagline.
The pig's going to be eating well.
Yep.
Come Sunday. Yeah, those guys, they just know all those crazy chokeholds. I guess they are boxing, but I mean, a lot of those cops nowadays, too, they have an MMA background, and it's just like, and I figure the real life experience that guy's had, probably battling people with weapons and stuff.
Do you know
the
story? What happened with him? Have you kept up on that?
Yeah, he did the ride along or something like that, and they fired him.
Yeah, so he's got $30,000 on the line. This isn't
money.
Some small purse. He's got $30,000 on the line. It's double.
Wait, that's two years' salary is $30,000.
Well, it's he was a part time cop, so he was making $15,000 a year, and Dave's going to double that. Yeah, so it'll be 30.
That's a good name for a racehorse, isn't it? Part time cop.
And he's coming down the stretch. It's part time cop by your nose.
Part time cop on the outside at the nose. It's going to be a photo. I would, yeah, I'm going to say part-time cop, Pig beats up the punk, and
give it to me honest, Bill. Who's going to win
this
in Pride versus Prejudice?
4 years hard time versus a guy, and this has nothing to do with his homosexuality. It's just all skinny right. as a twig.
Yep.
All right. Hard time, like, was it minimal security or maximum security? Was he in there with other killers? And
he told me it was just state penitentiary.
He was there for 4 years. He did a
state pen.
For a drive-by.
Yeah, he was trying to kill someone. So, you know, that kind of prison.
Did you ask him whether he did or didn't get raped in jail?
He said he did not get raped.
He said he did not get raped.
And
he said
he
was used to, he said two or three times he had like a 12-on-4 brawl situation. Not a one-on-one type of thing, but like a 12-on-4 melee.
Okay. All right. Well, I figure he's exaggerating.
Yeah.
So that was probably a 6-on-4, maybe.
Yep.
But I would still, just out of experience, not worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking this guy on experience. I mean, you have to go. I mean, the guy's been there. Okay,
yep.
This is like, you know.
And listen,
Tom Brady, and you had old Gusakowski behind him, whatever the hell, Garoppolo.
We would love the storybook finish here, like you said.
I'm rooting for that.
But I also love the real element, the real life element of Rough and Rowdy is this isn't a Disney script, and the guy who tried to murder someone might just beat the fucking shit out of this guy. So
I would tell you this right now. Well, they got headgear and shit. They're also going to stop it. So you do have that going on. And then secondly, the fucking balls that Pat has to get in the ring.
Oh, my God.
You know, most of the people in the crowd wouldn't have the guts to get in the ring with the convicted felon. Who
no doubt.
No fucking shot.
Fucking,
yeah.
I'm not doing it. That's for sure.
He might be telling the truth, but also I think that guy's got a little show business in his blood. He knows how to sell a fight. So he's just like, 6-on-4? Hey, why don't we make it 12-on-4? Yeah. You know?
All right. Well, you'll be on the call with Dan and Dave. It's sure to be an electric time. You are always, it's like you get almost like a stand-up routine from you. It's like watching a Bill Burr show while you watch these guys get the piss beat out of them. So it's this Sunday night. Go to buyrnr.com, and you can buy it for $16 now. It goes up to $20 on the day of. We're looking forward to it, Bill. Thanks, as always, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.